I realize that many of you have driven for some time to get here this morning and to be here. And we want our time today to be a very productive time with you. Some of you has already been productive because I've noticed how you have been huddling and talking with your friends. I have no clue what you're talking about. Man. But I'm glad that you are, because one of the things that that is a part of the life of a minister, a clergy person, is something that I read several years ago in a sermon by one of the great black preachers. It was about John 10, about being a pastor, being a shepherd, and how lonely that job can be. The loneliness of displacement, in the sense that most of us are serving in places that we were not born in. We're serving with people that we do not know. We're in places where we're having to learn the customs and traditions of others and see how in the world does that match with our customs, our traditions, and our understanding. And so this pastor talked about the loneliness of being a pastor, of displacement, the loneliness of feeling sometimes that you're in it all by yourself. And especially when we look at where some of our congregations are located, I'm almost sure that some of you do sometimes experience some loneliness. And even when there is a United Methodist pastor down the street from you, sometimes your schedule is so consuming that even in the midst of that, you don't get a chance to have that time of fellowship with somebody who understands the path that you're walking on. And so when I walked in and I noticed how many of you were in conversations, I already knew that the day was a good day, because some of you had a chance to talk with and to reconnect with some of your friends that you have not seen for some time. And so that has been good for us to do just that, to learn that we are in this thing together. But I've also called you here not just so that you can have the time of fellowship and getting to know each other, but I also called you here that you might receive some information that I think is pertinent for our life together as persons who are bound by our covenant relationship and bound by our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so easy sometimes in the midst of what we do to forget about the fact that there are so many people counting on us, and that we cannot afford the luxury of only thinking about ourselves. And so it is good that we gather so that we can understand and know the issues that not only impact upon the entire church, but those issues that impact upon you. I know that you are keenly aware, and I think many of us have made sure that you are aware of it, that through all publications and all kinds of things, of the continual membership decline within the United Methodist Church. It is something that we live with each and every day of our lives as men and women of God who are called to serve these congregations and to serve the United Methodist Church. There's no way that you could be a pastor in the United Methodist Church in the last 20 to 30 years and not be keenly aware of the membership decline and the attendance decline that we are now experiencing. It's also no way that you can serve these same congregations that you serve and not also experience some disappointment around the fact of the payment of our fair share. That's just no way you could miss it. You can, as a good friend of mine, Bishop James King, talked about one time. He said, when things happen to you, say you have three choices. And that is, you can just sit down and talk about it and talk it to death. And sort of be like the commercial I've seen lately where a man is in quicksand and everybody's sitting around planning about how they're going to get him out. And the man is sinking while they're planning. And finally somebody just steps up, throws the man a rope and pulls him out and go on about their business. So you can sit around and talk about it, or you can do like some of us do sometimes when problems get too bad for us. You can get in a sack and just kind of go to sleep. Put your head in the sand and act like it's not going on. Or thirdly, you can choose to act. And what we have chosen to do is to act in this sense, and that is to call you together in this place, because we are one family. And no matter how well things are going for you, if it's going bad for somebody else, it affects the entire attitude and disposition of the whole family. And we need to get to a point where we cannot rejoice when our brothers and sisters are crying. It is not simply an issue for pastors to commiserate over and district superintendents to hound you about either. It is an issue that affects all of our life together. You serve as the primary communicators in your church. And if the congregation is to catch a vision that helps us to fulfill our mission, that will only be led by you. In order to know your job and to do your job more effectively, then you need to know as much information as possible so you can do that job. And so that's one of the other reasons why we brought you here, is to help you to understand some things that may not be as clear in your minds as we would hope they would be. Because it is our responsibility as the bishop and the cabinet and staff members to ensure that you have the best possible communication and information at your disposal if you are to champion the mission of the church and to tell the church's story. You're here also to begin a process of trying as best we can to build trust. I have a very good friend of mine who has a dog. This dog is one of those vicious kinds. Only likes her master. She doesn't like anybody else. And as much as I have, over the years, been a friend of her master and of her master's husband, that dog will not let me pet her. I have tried for years upon years to be that dog's friend. But when that dog sees me, that dog begins to growl and snap and does that with just about anybody. And it's made up in that dog's mind, nobody's going to be my friend but that master, and I tolerate the husband. Amen. I also am a father who has some children, and one of those kids has a bird. And that bird does not like me. I've done everything I can to get along with that bird. That bird is just as quiet till that bird hears me walk in the house. And the minute I walk in the house, that bird hollers and screams and shrieks, and anybody and everybody can pick that bird up but me. But when the other day, when the children left and went with their mother down for spring break to visit with their grandmother, I was the only one in the house. And I said to that bird, if you're going to eat, we're going to get along. Amen. And lo and behold, we got along. In fact, the bird even got on my finger and let me walk around the house with it, because that bird understood from whence its help came. Amen. When we understand ourselves as being interrelated and interconnected, we cannot afford to let anything divide us. And even though it may be very difficult for you, because of your own nature or because of the person you are, to trust those who are around you, somehow you must strive to do that. And so we want to begin a process of building trust and a sense of teamwork. Thirdly, you're here to help us to also explore new ways to equip our churches to fulfill God's mission of making disciples who will transform this world. There are those of you who are doing excellent, great jobs out there, who've learned some things that the rest of us need to be the beneficiaries of. But because there are times we are so isolated, and because the trust level is not there, rather than call upon those sometimes who are doing well, we look at them with suspicious eyes. When we ought to understand that because we're in this together, if God has blessed somebody with some knowledge or some wisdom or some understanding about how to get the job done, somehow we've got to overcome some of our hesitancies and learn to listen to what they have to say, that we might all be faithful to what God is calling us to do. And so we want to hear from you today as well. But you also hear that we may discover, that you may discover, and that we may all discover together some new resources that may be available to us that have probably been around for some time, but because we have not been in conversations the way we ought to, we may not be aware of them. In order to do this, we will bring before you some resource persons that will share with you information that can be used to equip your people for ministry, and more than anything else, equip you for ministry. Because I'm one of those persons who believes that the church grows as the pastor grows. And as the pastor takes on new knowledge and new meaning and new understanding, I believe congregations in many ways reflect that new understanding as that pastor inculcates that in his or her life. And so there will be some people who will follow me. You can look at those names on your agenda. I think most of you have the agenda, and they will follow in this sequential order as they are listed. Now, I hope today, I will just say, and I realize from talking with my superintendents that there is some anxiety out there about this meeting. And I kept saying to my district superintendents, why? Why would folk have anxiety about coming to see the bishop, especially since we're in this thing together? And in fact, to be honest with you, one thing you need to learn about me, whether you want to accept it or not, there's a little bit of impishness in me anyway. And I love, amen, to be impish. I just enjoy it. And so the more they told me anxiety level was going up, the more I just smiled, amen. And I was having a little fun about it because, you know, when my mother calls me at home, when I was a kid and she would call me home, it depended on the tone of her voice, whether or not I needed to be filled with anxiety. If the tone of her voice was also followed by the fragrance of food that I like, I didn't worry about it, amen. But I want you to know the tone of my call to you was not a tone to bring you here and to spank you or to hound you or to dog you, because I've been a pastor and I know how difficult that ministry and that job is. But I also know that I could not have been as effective as however I might have been had it not been for sisters and brothers who came alongside me to help me to understand how to best serve God and serve God's people. So you've not been brought here to be spanked. Some of you resist spanking anyhow, amen. So it wouldn't do me any good or you any good. But you've been brought here that we might share together, and I trust that in that spirit you'll receive the information that will now come before you, beginning with Grady Weiniger. And we'll ask Grady if he'll come. At this time, I'll ask you to please greet him.